Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? All right, let's talk SFNFF, that's Shalhoven First Nation Film Festival. The Shalhoven First Nation Film Festival celebrates First Nation producers, directors, screenwriters, actors and communities within the Shalhoven across Australia, providing a platform for First Nation people's voices and stories through film. Its aim is to contribute to the process of truth-telling and help to build understanding amongst non-Indigenous people of the culture and connection to country and resilience of Indigenous people and of the issues that are faced. Look, a fantastic vehicle as such. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Julian McKay, a co-founder and organiser of Shalhoven First Nation Film Festival. And also we've got Jacob as well. Jacob, that's Chance, I believe surname there. He's the son, I believe. Language consultant and creative director at Garangul Maring. Just confirm the pronunciation of those names as well. Julian's online. Julian, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And you also have Jacob there with you?
I do indeed.
Hey, Jacob, which way, my brother?
Yeah, good, my brother. Good, good. Jacob Morris Chant, is that right?
Chant Morris or just Jacob Morris.
Jacob Morris. Okay, my brother. Now, your son to Julian, yes?
Yes.
Is that correct? Yes. Thank you. All right, beautiful. Thank you. Who you mob, where you from? Jacob, just explain that, brother.
So my mob's Gamea Darul, Wandrawandi and Wabanja Duriga and Birapa Dangari.
All right, beautiful.
And we work for a company called Garungul Maring, which means saltwater people.
Saltwater
so
people.
So respect to all of our mobs.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. A big shout out to you, mob, and thank you for coming to the program. Now, Julian, you're the co-founder and organiser of Shalhoven First Nation Film Festival. So tell us about this vehicle that you're driving, so to speak, and what it means to the people there. And talking about film, we're storytellers, are we not, Julian?
You are indeed storytellers, and we have found some of our fantastic stories told by our First Nations people and filmed by First Nations people. You might recall, Trevor, that we chatted with Uncle Jerry Law, who's the UN elder from down here on the South Coast, before we had the inaugural festival in September last year, and it was a huge success. There we showed films that effectively traced through the history of the way in which Aboriginal activists had used film to amplify their voices when it was very hard for them to get their stories out. And I'm really pleased that I can tell you that the response from the both Indigenous and non-Indigenous audience was really positive. The non-Indigenous audience would be saying to us, why didn't I know that? Why didn't I understand that part of Australia's history? And then the Indigenous members of the audience would say, these stories need to be told more widely. These should be shown to the kids in our schools. And that's one of the things that the Jacob is really keen to be able to do now through film.
Fantastic. That's beautiful. Jacob, over to you, my brother. So what's your role? Are you an actor, a director? What hat do you wear? And tell us about the space that you're working in.
Well, so kind of going, I'm not an actor. I've done a few film and things, but mainly docos.
Okay.
So just playing myself. But with Garungul Maring, for us, it's all about education. You know, going into the schools, we work in 22 of our local schools, primary schools, teaching language, dance, bush tacos, and just how we see the country and being that connector for non-Indigenous kids and our people in our country.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And like I said, it's about educating our mob, keeping them inspired, but also educating non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. And here we are, 21st century, 60,000 years. We're here. We're not going nowhere.
Nah, that's it, you know. And our biggest goal for Gadigal Murring, you know, is opening doors for our kids to, you know, get out there and be the ones to tell our stories, to get out there on the front line and just back them up and support them and open the doors for them so they can get up and continue the good fight.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic. So because of the huge success last year in September, here we are now looking at probably an annual event, you could say, Julian?
Yes, we are looking to make this an annual event. Mm. So we've just had our first screening. You interviewed Tiki Moore, I think, last week from Like My Brother, which was a fantastic interview. And I'm really pleased to be able to tell you that was an absolute sellout. We didn't have a spare seat in the house.
Yeah,
and that film has really sort of struck a chord.
Yes.
But what we are hoping to do between now and September is to work with people like Jacob and Gadigal Murring to bring people like Sal Balhari, who is the producer and co-director of Like My Brother, here to the Shoal Haven to help us work with the young ones to turn those stories that they've got at their fingertips and the means to record the stories, the mobile phones they hold in their hands, to actually turn those into scripts and then into films. So we're very keen to be able to work with Jacob on that.
You look fantastic, and look, it then creates a space for, you know, potential actors, so to speak, like a career pathway, you could say, a job or profession, what have you. But the vehicle also, like I said, tells the stories. We're storytellers, and in actual fact, stories need to be told when we're talking about First Nation people and we, the traditional owners of the land.
And yeah, exactly, and we are the best ones to tell our stories.
Exactly.
You know, by our people always telling the stories around our fire under the stars, but, you know, it's changing that medium and putting it on film and then, you know, recording it. That way, you know, our people are the ones telling our stories the way that we want to present it, you know, and exactly. Our perspective, how we see the world, how old people see in the world, and the things that, you know, all of us are doing around Australia to keep the fight going and keep the culture alive.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic. Well, take my hats off to you both. Thank you very much for the yarn. Congratulations. Keep doing what you're doing. So the festival is happening in September. Just paint that picture and where exactly. And can we just be on the road thing? Can we take this on the road?
Look, we'd love to take it on the road. But, Trevor, can I just put out a call to your listeners? Because in preparing for the festival in September, what we would like to do, given that we discovered this treasure trove of films for last September, is to put out a call to any of your listeners that have got films that they've made or films that tell their stories, and whether they're films that were made recently or perhaps a long time ago, remembering that we screened last time a film, the very earliest one was from 1933. We would love to hear from them. If they could email us, and I guess Ruby could put up on your website our email address.
Yes.
So that other First Nations people can be individuals or communities that have stories that they have told. We would love to hear from them to see whether they're films that we could bring here and then, picking up your point, perhaps take more broadly into the Indigenous and non-Indigenous community.
Fantastic. So I'll talk to Ruby and get that email, the details out there. That'd be great. So there's an open door there, so to speak, for our mob across this country. Anybody can contact you and have a yarn?
That would be absolutely perfect. As I say, they don't have to be finished films, but essentially something that's been completed.
Lovely.
Possibly a relatively short film, but at this stage our minds are open. We're just interested to hear from any First Nations people who've been involved in making films, telling their stories, that they want those stories told to a broader audience.
Beautiful. That's fantastic. Thank you so very much, sister. Good talking with you, Julian. Thank you. Jacob, brother, keep doing what you're doing. We'll be in touch, you mob, and take care, eh?
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Diddly Yarn, beautiful yarn. That's Julie McKay, co-founder and organiser of Shoalhaven First Nation Film Festival, and also Jacob, and that's Jacob Morris Chant, and of course the son of Julian. Fantastic working together, mother and son, and creating this fantastic space. And look, keep an eye on our Facebook page, and that's BBM 98.7 FM, and we'll have the email contact details that you can get in touch with Julian if you're a filmmaker or you've got a concept and an idea, what have you. Look, there's the opportunity. Throw as many irons in the fire. See what lights up your mob. Be proactive. Too deadly. Well done is better than well said. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Marasound Productions. When I was a young boy, I used to ask my old man, Daddy, can you learn me Badu song? They say, wah, wah, you no forget my boy, you lack them Badu man. Na
To Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. All right, we've got the next segment. And the next segment is big talk yarn in up here with the boys and girls from the Edmonton Police. But all the boys here today, we got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay come to join us, brought a bodyguard there, Constable Joel Linton, first year, and also we've got Stephen Brandt. And a very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Good, Trevor. Thank
you. All right, fantastic. Steve, start with you. Who your mob? Where you from?
Yeah, Trevor, General Boyd from the Tully Tropics Wet Management Area.
Yes.
From all the way to Cardwell to the lovely rainforest of downtown Sunny Raven. So.
Yep, there it is. And you would still probably hold that record as the wettest town in Australia, but I don't know, Ingham, Townsville maybe kicking your backside there.
Yep, I think maybe Babinda even, I thought, would be very close.
Yeah, sure, thank you. And look, thoughts and prayers again to all the mob there in Townsville, Ingham, Cardwell, that area. And, you know, big shout out. Now, yarn today is about staying safe around flood water. Over to Senior Glenn, Sergeant Glenn Delay. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Now, you live on the Tablelands. You commute, of course. You had no dramas the last couple of weeks getting down here to work.
I've been very fortunate.
Very fortunate.
Very fortunate that I've managed to get home each day.
Okay, and thoughts and prayers going out to your lovely wife who's stuck in Hughenden.
She's down at Hughenden, that's correct.
So you're doing all the cooking at the moment, brother.
Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah, she's dearly missed if she's listening.
Yeah, thank you, dear. Miss you, love you. Yeah, beautiful. And all over to Senior, Constable Joel Linton, first year. How are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. So first year, how are you enjoying your first year, mate?
It's good. It's great. Job I've been wanting to do forever, so finally here. And
was my next question. Have you always wanted to be a police officer? And here
absolutely,
you are.
Absolutely, yeah. So
good.
Loving it.
Lovely,
be
fantastic.
Anywhere else.
There you go, fantastic. Where do you stem from, Joel?
Brisbane.
From Brisbane?
Yeah.
So coming from Brisbane, did your training there?
Yep.
And
yeah,
then you got Oxley?
Yep.
Big shout out, Oxley Mob. And then you got posted up here at Edmonton?
Yep.
Did you have a say in that? Or?
Voluntold, yeah. So they gave you some options where you want to get posted. You got like your preference list and stuff like that. But I just said pretty much.
Anywhere?
Here's my list. I just want to do the job. So
sure.
Here we are.
What was the top of the list in regarding this, the area?
Where I wanted to go?
Yeah.
I did Brizzy,
yep.
South, Brizzy North, Logan, and then I think Goldie or something. And then
they sent you to Edmonton and far north Queensland.
Yeah, because I didn't have many reasons to stay anywhere.
Sure.
So I was just but yeah, so.
Good.
But
okay.
Now I've got some good reason to stay up here because I can see the shortage and stuff like that. So
sure.
Hopefully that all goes ahead.
But all right, I'm picking up a team player attitude.
Absolutely, yeah. Do beautiful. It for the team. It's not a single person job. It's do it for your colleagues, do it for your mates, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. Well, Jan Moore, over your Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, talking about staying safe around flood water. I'm driving to work this morning, big yellow thing in the sky. I didn't know what that was, but I took a photo of it and put it in my photo in my tree at home.
Yeah.
The sun is with us today.
We haven't seen it for a number of weeks, have we?
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, we've in Cairns, I suppose, we've fared up a lot better than our southern counterparts there in Townsville and that Ingham area.
Yep.
Which brings us to that topic of staying safe around that flood water. Look, a lot of this is common sense, knowing where you're living, and particularly if there's been a history of flooding in that area.
Exactly.
And have the emergency kit on hand, battery, operated torch, and keeping a list of emergency numbers handy.
Yep.
And knowing your evacuation routes and centres. Okay, so look, one of the reasons why I want to talk about this today is we had an incident a couple of weeks ago where some children aged between 7 and 9 years were swimming in a drain here behind Irville Shopping Centre.
Yes.
Whilst it was flooding, you know.
And heard that story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, and that could have turned tragic. It didn't, fortunately.
And shout out to the constituent who jumped out of his car to save these young ones.
Yep. Yep, and they were two of them were pulled from the water. Two others had made it to safety. But then we also had that incident last year in December where a 15-year-old boy in Mariba was actually sucked down a drain.
Yeah.
He had emerged in another street over. So he was quite
lucky.
He
didn't make it.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
He made it.
Yeah, a few cuts and grazes and... he'd made it. But
kids will be kids.
Mm.
They think there's fun and games here, the water's here, but... it's dangerous too.
That's right.
And so we need to do our bit as well, looking at them young ones.
Yeah, and it's about just having those conversations with your children, like when it's flooding, you know, not to find themselves in that flood water and swimming and, you know what may be in that flood water, you know, and
sure.
along with the toxic chemicals and, you know.
That stuff as well, yes.
But then we've got sewage, animal waste, you know, they're things that would normally deter a child from entering the water if they...
Well, snakes as well.
Snakes.
And I'm allergic to snakes. Mm. I hate snakes, you know, but there you go, honestly.
That's right, yep.
You don't know what's in the water there, and especially when we're talking floods, we're talking the current. We don't know, debris and what have you, branches, what have you, you know. It is very dangerous.
Absolutely, yep. Mm. And following the event, that's an important thing for yourselves and children to know that that river courses may have changed during that flooding event. So where you used to be able to jump on the Tarzan swing and dive in previously, there may be obstacles obstructed by the water.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you really want to take care, even post your flooding events when you're swimming.
And when you drive, of course, the slogan is, if it's flooded, forget it.
Absolutely.
Some people tend to ignore that, especially got a big, muscly four-wheel drive with the snorkel gear.
Yep, which is...
Don't tell me about boats.
Which is no good to you when the bridge is washed away that you're driving.
Well, exactly. You don't know what's underwater. There may not be a bridge there.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, for example, yeah.
Yep. And, and I've seen, you know, a few years ago when I was working at Laura, exactly that had happened. A car had crossed the Northern Crossing, which is just a causeway, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, in the middle of it had washed out, and that's where their car ended. So, you know, and it is a difficult... very difficult to get out of a car once it is taken by the water, particularly if it was to roll over. You know, if your electric's closed down, then we have difficulty getting doors opened, windows down. So
let me ask you a question. Sometimes they put up the barriers in regard to road closed.
Correct.
Someone goes past the road closed and they get in trouble.
Yes.
Is that an offence?
Correct, yep.
And then get fined for that?
That's right, yep.
Okay, just... State that case then. Mention that again. They do get fined for that if you go past
that
road.
There is a traffic ticket for driving through the road closed signs.
Okay, there you go.
You're
listening, people?
And they're not erected just for the tourists. They're erected for local people as well, you know.
Sure.
So every now and then a few of our sightseers believe that they're...
Because some people ignore the road closed signs and go through, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And the other point, just back on that, the insurance.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
it doesn't get
right.
covered.
Okay, there you go. Never thought of that.
Yep.
Yeah, so if you get flooded, what have you, insurance? No, the road was closed.
That's
correct. Well, insurance do ask, well, I got flooded out, what have you. They probably ask, was there a sign there saying road closed?
Yeah, I'm sure if you've got a good insurance assessor, they're going to be checking whether the roads were closed at that time anyway. So
yeah, there you go.
They would know. And
they would know because authorities know, council knows, whatever.
Absolutely.
And the roadwork guys know, of course.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yep. Yep. So before you make the trip, you know, get onto those websites. In Queensland, it's the Queensland Transport website. If you just Google that 131940, that'll bring you to the website, and that'll show all your road closures. So even before you make the trip, it's handy to know whether a road is open and closed or whether there's water over the road.
Yeah. So if you come to a road and you're in your police car, probably answer the question, Joel, and you're just sussing it out. It road blocking because we say if it's flooded, forget it. Are you in a position, authority, to stop vehicles from, hey, listen, we're about to close this road, don't go through? Yeah, you can do that. You can turn them away, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. It's part of our duty of care to stop people trying to do those sort of things. And, you know, like the boss said, you don't know what's underneath there. You don't know if there is a bridge there. So, you know, we don't want to have to go swimming after someone who's deliberately gone through a sign like that when we could just turn them away beforehand and maybe make them extend their trip by 10 minutes or something.
Of course,
like
exactly.
That.
Of course. Well, of course, we don't want to lose a life, but also you don't want to lose your car.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get flooded away. And, well, more fool you if you get taken. So if cars are parked, they say, oh, no, we don't. Then you come through full drive and go through, then you get washed away. Egg on your face, you know.
Yep.
Big note yourself. There it is.
You find yourself on YouTube or.
Yeah, thank you.
Instagram,
there you go. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, look, so very, very important. And, look, this is the monsoon season for people living up here who are locals, you know. If you're just newcomers and just moved up here, listen to the locals, you know, abide by the rules and, keep your family safe.
Yeah.
Keep your vehicle safe. Mm. So it'd be the same.
Just back on that point, like you're saying, Trevor, like I remember 40 years ago, excuse me, growing up in Tully, the wettest town in Australia, me and a couple of mates, we got some tractor ties together.
Yep, yep.
went through the flood.
There you go.
But when I got home, I got a flogging.
There you go. That's right. Mm-hmm. Brought you in this world, I'll take you out, Daddy said. Yeah, that's beautiful. There you go. So, and never ever did that again. Like, well, as I always said, I wasn't scared of no man or woman in the blue uniform. I was scared of a little Aboriginal for a little bit Lake Placid. To my dad, love you, Dad. You're very good, you know. He said, yeah, put you in this, we'll take you out. He slapped me around. That's the case. But hard love.
Yeah. Your father probably knew about all the crocodiles and that Tully River.
That's right, exactly. And I'm allergic to crocodiles too. Mm. Look, a very important conversation, very important messages here. Staying safe around flood water. Numbers need to call if any drama's going on.
Yeah, well, look, it's the old if it's an emergency, life or property in danger, it's 000.
Yep.
Non-urgent response, police link, 131 444. Mm-hmm. And anonymous information, obviously, not really related to floodwaters, but any other anonymous Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000.
Fantastic. Yep.
And there's also notices out there, flood campaigns across our screens, exactly. And on billboards are currently out in place, so just remember that.
Yep, sure. Joel, you're here for our first year at Edmonton. How long do you stay at the area where you've been posted to?
So we're tenured for 3 years.
3 years.
So hopefully I'm at Edmonton for 3 years,
okay.
Just, you know, building the relationship with the staff, all that sort of stuff. My partner's actually a constable there as well.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we moved.
Was
up
she
together.
Here before you, or how
she work? She was in Brisbane.
Yes.
And then when I couldn't get the chance to stay in Brisbane, we came up here because that was our option. You know, we just wanted.
Was she already posted here?
No, so she was a constable in Brisbane.
Okay.
But because I couldn't stay there, we wanted to obviously stay together. We don't want to.
Yeah.
You know,
so they transferred her up here as well.
So she got the transfer up here. So. Obviously, we want to stay together and we want to stay in Edmonton because we see how short staff there are.
Is she first year as well?
She is, but she's a different type of first year to me because she's a previous police officer from a different country.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's different. I'm not too sure about
that. Well, she might outrank you, brother.
She does.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think you're the man. Yeah, clean those gutters, mow that lawn, wash up them dishes. Joel, nice meeting you and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Senior Sergeant Lindelai, thank you very much. Steve, you got something to say, brother?
Yeah, just to shout out to our colleagues there in Brisbane at Roma Street. We had the FNAG meeting up here this year.
Okay. And the FNAG, what's that, sorry?
That's the First Nations Advisory Division, I believe.
Yes.
The unit. But
okay.
Big shout out there to the superintendent there, Mr. Brett Jenkins, who played a major role.
Good.
By his chess player there, Mr. Alan Dewis. And I also had the opportunity with the commissioner and the deputy in town for that meeting for this year.
Were you driving them around? Were you the chauffeur?
Yes.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. So,
very important role there, brother.
Yeah, big shout out to the crew in Brisbane there and
lovely.
Maria and Karen and the rest of the staff.
Beautiful.
We'll catch up soon.
Welcome to Wet Cairns. Thank you. All the best, gentlemen. We'll talk soon, eh? Take care.
Thank you.
All the best. Beautiful yarn with the boys in blue. Which way yarning? That's our deadly segment there. Big shout out to Perry's. Perry's at Brinsmead and at Edmonton as well. And IGA, they give us a box of fruit here by my Brisbane Media. Bit slight on the fruit this week, of course. All the trucks, about 90-odd trucks there, blocked up there in Cardwell. So there it is. The food is coming, you mob. Look, take care. Stay safe. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Fighting for our rights in the land of the indigenous. We got to stand up for our rights. Australian bites to the coral case of the Torres Straits. Know where we all stand in the land of the indigenous. Voices of this land and the spirit of the Torres Strait. Come together as one in the land of indigenous. Well, I'm telling you, yeah.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnin with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the News, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? All right, at Piriya Katina, Ridson Cove, on the eastern shore of the River Derwent in Hobart, freshly dug soil represents the beginnings of a project that will see a return to old ways for the Tasmanian Aboriginal community using the space. It's the first step in creating a large bush food garden, teeming with edible ground cover vines and larger shrubs. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Kitana Mansell, and that's manager and project coordinator, and got her on the line. Hello, Kitana. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yep. So, Yap Lingina, I'm from Lutruwita, Tasmania, Palawa mob down here.
Okay, beautiful. Big shout out to your mob. Thank you very much for coming to the program, and congratulations with what you're doing there regarding the bush food garden. So, shed some light. Tell us how long you've been operating for, and what's the vision to what you're doing, sister.
Yeah, so I've been working at the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre for nearly 5 years now. Mm-hmm. So I started when I was 19, working with the Aboriginal food and really promoting our traditional ingredients and serving that up to the rest of the state. Good. And through the work that I've been doing today is really about bringing our country back to our natural ways. Yes. Again. So we're based out at Pirakitina, mm-hmm. which in English is Risdon Cove. And okay. we got this land given back to our community in 1995. And what I've really wanted to do with this land is to bring all of our native edible plants and our trees and really bring back this natural way of living back for Aboriginal Good. People to connect through country, food and community, and just really have this space opened up for our community to try these ingredients that haven't been...
Lovely. My mouth watering here, sister.
Pardon?
My mouth is watering here, listening to you.
Yeah.
So congratulations. So so how long have you been running for?
The business was owned by the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre in 2019.
Okay, 2019. So here we are 5 years later down the track. And we're talking about elders at the table. We're talking about passing on the information to younger First Nation people.
Yeah, so definitely learning from our elders. But Good. Down here in Lutruwita, we've been impacted by colonisation quite heavily. So yes. it's about regaining all of that knowledge again and even experimenting as Aboriginal people to regain and revive that knowledge.
Good.
So working with bits and pieces and putting all of that puzzle back together to be able to share with everyone how we can use this in a modern way and also get a better, healthier diet for our community down here.
Lovely. So producing the bush food garden, so to speak, and then we are talking about selling the produce through manufacturers or through restaurants, or what's the vision there?
Well, the vision for the first stage of the garden is to just really get more of the plants replanted on the property.
Okay.
And yep. we also want to make sure that we're doing it in a really sustainable way. So we might just start off with local people accessing these bush foods and selling them as a product.
Yep.
But also just really getting the community to come out on country, take the ingredients and teach their young ones or their elders how to create new recipes with these ingredients. So just really giving back to community. Good. But then through the bush tucker tours that I run here on the land, I'm teaching the wider community and even the international guests about these ingredients.
Good, fantastic. So look, it's like a four or five pronged spear. We're talking about educating, we're talking about keeping the culture alive, and we're talking about producing, if not a job or business opportunities, but we're talking about restaurants or what have you, but getting our bush tucker out there. And look, 60,000 years on planet Earth, we know how to survive. And we're talking about also more bush medicines as well, aren't we?
Yes, definitely. There's always a used for the medicinal, the edible and craft use in every single plant, and our old people have done that for thousands of years.
Yeah, congratulations. Sound like you're enjoying the journey. And you got how many on board you got working with you there?
So I've just employed a Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander chef. So he started about 3 weeks ago. His name's Braden Gower, so he'll be working with me.
Big shout out, Braden. Big shout out. Yep.
Yeah, big shout out to Braden who's listening right now.
Well, that's deadly fantastic.
So we're just going to be working together with getting this garden going and then using those ingredients in our kitchen, which we provide all the catering around the state as well.
Beautiful, fantastic. Is it an opportunity for open up for tourists to come and see you guys?
Yes, yep. So with our tours that we run to the public every month, we allow them to come onto the land here and learn about all of these plants that will be growing as time goes by.
All right, fantastic. Give yourself a plug. Have you got a web page or how do we find you?
Yep, so Palua Kipli, which means Tasmanian Aboriginal food. So you can look up that online. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website is beautiful. So you'll be able to see all the different services that we do and stay up to date on our social media pages as we go through the stages of this beautiful garden.
Katana, thank you. Now, the spelling of Palua Kipli, how do you spell that, sister?
So Palawa, Palawa, and Kipli is Kipli.
L-I. All right, beautiful. Hey, my sister, good yarn with you. Thank you very much. Big shout out to the brother there. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon.
All right, thanks, brother. Willika.
Oh, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Her name is Katana Mansell, and Palawa Kipli, manager and projector coordinator. And we're talking about the bush food and the tucker that they're doing there. It's fantastic. They're operating down there in Tasmania. Yep, here we are, 21st century, and Tasmanian Aboriginals still with us. Too strong, you mob. Keep doing what you're doing and yarning up strong. So do check out their webpage or Google them, Palawa, P-A-L-A-W-A, and Kipli, K-I-P-L-I. There it is. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Stay tuned. Got news coming up very soon, but we'll come back very soon. Too deadly. National Talk Black.
Yeah.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev about to sign off for today's program, you mob. Thank you for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We've got the news coming up very soon, so stay tuned for that. And also, let's be careful out there. We've still got the a lot of rain out there, a lot of water. The sun is out, but be careful. And look after yourselves, you mob. Take care. Yarn soon. Too deadly.
Southeast wind will blow all around us, and the winter wind can chill us to the bone. We will sail the Torres Strait and East Coast waters in working time.
Sailing the South.